Hey now.
Okay.
This is what dreams are made of.
Hey.
Hey now. This is what dreams are made of. I've got.
Yeah. I don't know either.
Dude, why is it always that as soon as you press the button, I have to burp? Do you feel the same way?
I feel like I have to laugh. I have to look away from this. But I figured out, I think that mutes us.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I pressed it, just in case one of us.
Oh, yeah, because I feel like I have to burp every time. Like, you press it, and then it just starts coming up.
I feel like I need to get, like, all my wiggles out as soon as I press the button.
Okay, well, hey, everyone. Welcome back to our podcast. I'm Peyton Moreland.
And I'm Garrett Moreland.
And this is Murder with My Husband.
And I'm the husband.
Yeah. So I thought that we would start off by talking about some shows that we've been watching together or alone since we've been in quarantine. And so, yeah, a show that we've been watching together is Lost.
Yeah.
But we kind of stopped.
Yeah, we stopped after. We were actually going pretty good. We were on season 3. We were like 2 weeks in.
Yeah.
And I don't know what.
It just gets boring. Like, I've watched it before and I stopped around the same point. So I actually have never finished Lost.
Almost like it gets repetitive, but I don't know if it's repetitive is the right word. I don't know. It gets a little funky.
But after Lost, we started All American.
But like I was saying the other day, how you haven't watched any SVU or CSI or anything. Yeah,
because I've watched all of them. Like,
yeah, so literally, so many times.
Send me a crime show. I've watched it.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's like.
She can. Wait. You should. She can repeat the Law and Order. what's it called? I don't know.
The theme song? Intro.
Yeah, we'll have to do that maybe another podcast.
Wait, I think I could do it.
Okay, do it.
Hold on.
Pressure's on. Let's go.
If I can remember how it starts.
Okay, go.
In the criminal justice system, sexually based offenses are considered especially heinous. In New York City, the dedicated detectives who investigate these vicious felons are members of an elite squad known as the Special Victims Unit. These are their stories. Boom, boom.
That's what I'm talking about. I thought that was the applause one. The
applause? It's this one.
Which one is it? Oh, that's funny.
The fail.
You suck. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that's just a hidden talent of watching every single season, all 832 seasons of Law and Order, I swear.
It's pretty impressive, actually.
Yeah. So, the other night we were looking at places to go, you know, to travel to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, can't right now.
Yeah, can't right now, but for the future, I know. Just dreaming, you know, looking up resorts and stuff. And we were looking at, like, where were we looking?
I was just looking in Mexico.
Mexico.
As just different resorts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about hotels because I've had some not the best experiences in hotels. What about you?
What do you mean? It's like.
Just like staying in. Like, okay, if you think about it, like this scares me, you know, being a, you know, just obsessed with this kind of stuff, having, you know. The fact that I'm sleeping, which is your most vulnerable state, I'm sleeping with hundreds of people that I don't know that are just a door away.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I never.
It's like letting people in your house and saying like, good night. I don't know who you are. I've never even seen you. Good night.
I actually really like the locks on hotel doors because I feel like they're like super big and thick.
Yeah.
So I guess I don't really get scared because I feel like someone couldn't get in if they tried. But
so. I was going to tell the story of the Airbnb that we went to in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
So we, like, book this Airbnb in Vegas with a couple friends, and we drive up, and it's just not a good part of Vegas. Like, we didn't realize when we booked it, but, well, actually, we didn't even book it. Our friends did. But we drive up, we park, and I'm, like, so scared. The hotel just has... It's like a apartment building.
Yeah, it's apartment building.
It's like an apartment building. And it has like just windows shattered. The like parking lot is just destroyed. And so we go in, go into the elevator, and everyone's just kind of side-eyeing us. We get to the room, we walk in. The room is like actually okay, kind of, but it just has this weird smell. And then we go into the bedroom and there's blood on the bed, remember?
Yeah.
There was blood on the sheets in the bed.
Yeah, the whole thing was just super sketchy.
It was just so weird. And I never told you about this one time. Me and my mom, we were like somewhere for a dance competition. We pull up to this hotel and it's like late because the dance competition just gotten over. So it's like 11 p.m. And we pull up and the hotel is just like in this sketchy area of where we were. And we get out and there's this guy just like standing, staring at us. Like we parked the car and he kind of like walked over to the car, but like stayed far enough away that he like wasn't approaching us, you know, but he like came close to us. So we like get out and we start walking up to go into like the side door of the hotel and he follows us over there. And so I'm like, what the heck? So I like open the door and we go in and we start walking, like the stairs were directly where the side door was. So we start walking the stairs and I turn around and he like caught the door with his foot and followed us in. And so I'm like freaking out. And so we like walk up and I'm like, Mom, that guy is following us. So we start walking faster and we get to our room and he did go onto our floor and like turned around and saw what room we went into, but we like got the door closed. So the whole night I'm like freaking out, can't sleep. I'm so scared. I'm like, Mom, we have to call the cops. Mom, we have to call the cops. Like he followed us in and saw what room we went into. And she's like, no, he just didn't have a key card. And he needed to get in. So he was just like waiting for someone to come open the side door for him, you know? And I was like, yeah, but why would he follow us up to our room? And I like booby trapped our whole room. I took all the hangers, like the metal hangers that hang in the closets, and I hung them all over the door. I moved the desk in front of the door. You are kidding me. I was so scared.
I think I could be wrong, but I think that might happen when you only listen to murder stuff and watch murder shows. Because that doesn't even cross my mind.
I know, but I was just like so scared.
I know. That's so funny. It's kind of like the other day when we were hiking. With our family.
Yeah. And
obviously, it's different right now for everyone who's listening. Like COVID-19, coronavirus is going on.
Yeah.
But we were hiking with my family. And all of a sudden, this guy starts approaching us, but then just stops and is just staring at us. And it all took us a second to realize, oh.
He's social distancing. But it was creepy.
It was creepy.
Because he was just alone hiking, and he came up from behind us.
And then just stopped.
And so we heard him, and then right when we turn around, he just stops. Yeah. And I think because he was probably like, oh, crap, I'm supposed to be social distancing. But we were like, why did this guy just stop? Like, he's falling, you know, like it was.
And then we realized, oh, it's social distancing everything was fine.
Yeah, it was.
So that you brought up hotels. Does that mean the murder's about hotels today?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. I'm a genius. I had no idea, by the way. That was a total guess.
Okay. So do you want to just hop into it?
Yeah, let's hop into it.
Okay. So I'm doing the murder of Roland T. Owen / Artemis Ogletree. Not two separate people, same person, two different names.
Are these people from the USA?
Yes.
Interesting names.
Okay, so I got my information off of mysteriousuniverse.org, BuzzFeed Unsolved, Wikipedia, allthatsinteresting.com, and phantomsandmonsters.com, which was a blog.
Okay.
Okay. So, on a cold winter afternoon, in January of 1935, so we're way back, a man wearing a black overcoat checked into the Hotel President in Kansas City, Missouri. The Hotel President was like a nicer hotel for Kansas City. It was like a well-known hotel that was pretty nice.
Yeah.
He's tall. He has a scar on his face. And he has cauliflower ear in one ear.
Okay, yeah.
So like people are assuming that maybe he's like a wrestler or a boxer in that time.
Fighter, whatever.
Yeah, maybe. Whatever. He has no luggage. He books a room and requests an interior room that isn't facing the street outside. So it's like the window is facing like the courtyard in the center. Because it's like a nice hotel. So it's like the courtyard in the center of the hotel and not the street outside.
Okay, I mean, I guess that's not that weird of a request. Mm-mm. So
he pays for his room in all cash and signs as Roland T. Owen, attaching an address that's in Los Angeles. After that, the bellboy, whose name is Randolph Probst, guides Roland up to his room And the room number is 1046.
I always forget about those.
So Owen's, when they get up to the room, and this is all coming from the bellboy's point of view.
Okay.
Owen sets down a comb, a toothbrush, toothpaste, and a brush from his pocket, and then goes to get the key from Probst and then leaves the hotel. So this is the only things that he had with him was his wallet, a comb, a toothbrush, toothpaste, and a brush. That's the only luggage he brought.
Yeah, that's weird. It's also kind of weird. Maybe no one thought of this, but the bellboy is very observant.
I know, because if you're thinking that, like, right? Maybe he was getting rubbed the wrong way.
And so he's paying more attention yeah, to him.
But it's like nothing bad had happened really yet. And so, like, how, but I think because the bellboy is, like, supposed to bring the luggage up.
Yeah.
But this guy had no luggage. Okay,
that would make sense.
And so then when he gets in the room, he lets the guy into the room with a key. And because it's 1935, so hotels weren't like they are now. It's not like you get yeah. your key and you go up by yourself, you know.
And it's not like he was like wanting to check his phone for yeah, something. Yeah, yeah. So all he was doing was staring at
yeah. him. Yeah. And so this guy empties his pockets out with toothbrush, toothpaste, comb, and then is like, okay, thanks. Like, and leaves the hotel, like doesn't stay in his hotel room, walks back down with the bellboy and leaves.
Got it. Okay.
And the bellboy gives him his key. Hmm. So later that day, Mae Soapdick, who is the hotel maid, enters room 1046 to clean it. When she opens the door, Owen, the guy, is sitting on the bed with his legs like straight out in front of him with a single lamp on, like to the lowest setting. So it's super dim in the bed and the shades are like completely drawn. Like there's no light coming in, and he's not doing anything. He's just sitting on the bed staring at the wall in front of him.
What in the world?
And so she, like, gets startled, right? Because, like, why is this guy sitting in the dark? Like, I'm here to clean the room. And he seems to be, like, visibly anxious and distraught. Like, she can tell that, like, something's wrong with the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Owen. So she enters the room, and he, like, stands up to leave the room because she's coming in. And he tells Mary not to lock the door on the way out because he's expecting a friend to come over. And he says it to her like a couple times before leaving, like he's gathering his stuff, which I don't know. Like, I get to guess he doesn't have that much stuff, but maybe just grab. And he like mentions it over and over, like, don't lock the door. Don't lock the door. I have a friend coming. All right, you guys, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. And I don't know about you, but when I've been hanging out a lot, going out with friends, dinners, maybe my social battery completely drains and I need to take a few days to have a breather. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need some time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I'm a huge believer in therapy. And even if you're like, I just don't feel like I have much to talk about. I don't feel like I have all this trauma. You don't realize how much your body holds on to with stress and just unhappy emotions. It holds on to it. So it's nice to let it out and get it out. Keep your life in order, and that is something therapy can do for you.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/husband today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/husband.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations.
Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. So I speak a little bit of Spanish. Okay, that's not true. I speak Spanish fluently for the most part, and Peyton has always wanted to learn a language, so she's actually started using Babbel, and she's going to use it the next time we go to Mexico, and I'm really excited to see how her Spanish is.
Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/husband. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/husband, spelled BABBEL.com/husband. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, we're jumping into an ad real quick. This is Shopify. I personally love Shopify. I've been using it for 7-8 years now since I've met Peyton. I've been using it for so long. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
Whether you're selling sleuthing supplies or marketing mystery merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms.
Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/husband, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/husband now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/husband, shopify.com/husband. Oh, so I wanted to explain. So this hotel can only be locked from the outside of the room. So I think it's like a keyhole insert, and there's no, like, the inside of the door is just a door handle, and you have to lock the door from the outside.
Seems very unsafe.
I know. So I don't really quite understand, because, yeah, like, I'm confused. If you, so I think that you would go in the room and there would be no need to lock your room door. Unless you were leaving the room.
Yeah, okay, I can see
that. So it's like you leave the room, you lock the room, you come back, you unlock it, and then you don't lock the door again until you're going to leave again. Does that make sense? It's not like today's hotels where you're able to lock.
This whole story is just kind of strange right now.
I know.
It's kind of freaky.
So Mary, the maid, finishes cleaning the room, and then she returns to the room again just a little bit later at 4 to leave some clean towels because she, like, didn't have the towels with her when she was cleaning the room. Mm-hmm. So she opens the door again, it's unlocked, and is startled to see Owen lying in the bed again, fully clothed, staring at the ceiling in the dark. Now the lamp is off.
All right, this dude's doing some, like, devil worship or something inside there.
I know.
What in the world?
So the maid notices a note on the desk from, like, the hallway light, because it's dark in the room, but she can, like, see the note because of the light in the hallway. And the note says, "Dawn, I will be back in 15 minutes. Wait." So she's like, oh, I think he's waiting for someone. So she just, like, drops the towels off and leaves because she's, like, super uncomfortable. Which is why I think we're getting all these details, because I think everyone from the beginning was, like, a little, like, making note in their head of, like, the weird things going on because they were.
Yeah, these are a lot of details. It's almost like a, I don't know, there's a ton of details, like a murder mystery. Everyone's like remembering
everything. But I think, like, if something's strange, you are prone to remember it more.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe, like, I mean, if you walk into a room and a man's just laying fully clothed, shoes on, in the bed, staring at the ceiling with all the lights off midday.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, what?
What are you doing, dude?
Yeah. The next morning, Mary finds the door locked from the outside, which in her head she thinks, oh, Owen must have left because the door is locked, you know, and you can't lock it from the inside. So she uses her key to unlock the door to clean the room, opens the door, and once again, Owen is sitting in the bed in the dark, shades tightly shut. So she's completely startled and confused because this means that someone locked him into the room. Someone took his key, locked the door, and left.
Oh, yeah.
Because the door was locked. So he now doesn't have his key.
What? That makes no... So, okay, keep going.
So she realizes that he's on the phone when she opens the door, but he waves her to come in anyways and clean the room. And she overhears him on the phone say, "No, Dawn, I don't want to eat. I'm not hungry. I just had breakfast. No, I'm not hungry. She cleans the room and leaves. But, like, how awkward is it that the maid cleaned the room and he just sat there the whole time?
In the dark with the shades closed. On the phone.
On the phone.
Yeah, this,
like,
I don't know.
Who sits in the room while the maid is cleaning the room?
That's so true. Whenever I'm on vacation and the maid's knock, I'm like,
you instantly leave.
We got to get out.
We have to go do something. Like, even on our honeymoon, when they would come to clean the room, like, even if we were lounging and, like,
or just woke up,
just, we're
just like,
oh, we would get up and leave the room.
It's awkward. You don't want to, like, it's, I know they're doing their job. You don't want to be there while they're just cleaning the room.
That's I just think that's so eerie that he just sat there. And it's 1935, so maybe it's not. That eerie.
He's like a vampire. He's just sitting on the bed, just like, yeah, Don. Yeah, how's it going?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
So this is the second time that Don has been mentioned. The first time on the notepad.
Yep.
Which she thinks Don was the friend that came to see him. Mm-hmm. And then now on the phone.
Okay.
So she comes back for her afternoon rounds. And when approaching the door to room 1046, she hears two male voices talking inside the room. So she gently knocks and asks if they need any fresh towels. But she knows that they do because when she cleaned the room earlier, she took the towels.
Yeah.
And now she's coming back to bring them like she did the first day. A gruff, angry sounding voice says from inside the room, "We don't need any. Go away."
Wow.
So we, so meaning there's multiple people. And go away. So she just leaves. And she's already has the heebie-jeebies about this room. Seriously. So she just is like, yeah, I'm leaving. So that night, this is night number two, around 1 a.m., a guest in the neighboring room of 1046 says that she hears a man and a woman arguing. And then she says, but it actually could have been two couples, but she wasn't sure. And there was like sounds of like a scuffle and then some loud snoring. And then that was it. And it like went away and she went back to sleep.
This whole thing honestly is reminding me of a murder mystery. Everyone like has details here and there.
I know.
And like little facts.
I know. I also do think like in 1935, just from watching the movies, you know, like that people would just say things and the cops took it as 100%. Whereas nowadays, like eyewitnesses are actually not the most reliable source you can have. Like most of the time people don't even...
They want video cameras and forensics.
Yeah, yeah. Because you can't really trust. So, I mean, this story is coming strictly from eyewitnesses.
Like a book, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean...
Okay.
Also, I think everyone, like I said, was paying closer attention because of the weird... And like if you wake up in the middle of the night, I mean...
Yeah.
I had an experience at a hotel where I woke up in the middle of the night to some sounds going on in the room next door. And like, I could vividly explain
everything that happened.
Yeah. Because it's just, it's the, you know. So the next morning at 7 a.m., the front desk notices that room 1046's phone had been left off the hook. So it was like their room phone was off the hook. So they sent the bellboy up. And this is the same bellboy and the same maid the whole story.
Okay.
So this bellboy by now is like...
Yeah, this maid and bellboy are ready to get out of there.
So they send the bellboy up to find out what's going on. So he arrives and he goes to open the door, but the door's locked again, meaning like no one would be in the room. So he knocks on the door a couple times and then someone from inside says, "Come in and turn the lights on." But the door's locked. And so, like, he's like, so he's like getting frustrated. He's like, I can't get in. The door is locked, but they can't open the door either. And so he just gets frustrated and he shouts through the door, "Put the phone back on the hook." And then he leaves the room.
Yep.
So whoever was in room 1046 that morning doesn't listen. And at 8:30, the phone is still off the hook.
Oh, bellboy's going to be pissed.
So the bellboy gets sent back up to hang up the phone. They say, no matter what, get in there and hang up the phone. They give him a key to the room this time. So he knocks. There's no answer. So he lets himself in. He opens the door and he sees Owen laying on the bed, fully naked with the lights off. Like curtains closed again. It's pretty dark. The only light is coming from the hallway.
Is he like in bed or just like
he's laying on top of the bed?
Just on top of the bed.
Fully naked.
Okay.
The telephone... like where it's supposed to be sitting is knocked over onto the floor and it's like off the receiver. So
It's not a pretty sight to walk into.
So he just like assumes that he's hungover, you know? And so he walks in, picks up the phone, hangs it back up, puts it back up on like the desk that it's supposed to be on and leaves. Doesn't say anything to Owen or anything.
Okay.
And Owen doesn't say anything either. So.
just silences.
I know. So about an hour later, the front desk gets another notification. Gets another notification saying that the phone is off the hook again.
Dude, he's just playing games with his bellboy.
So the bellboy is like frustrated by now. Like this poor bellboy.
Seriously.
Like, he's like, are you kidding me? Like I just came to work to do my job, carry these people's luggage, and I'm having to babysit a grown man.
A naked man.
Yeah, a grown naked man who's hungover. Like he's probably just so frustrated at this point. I just feel
That's
bad
so
for him.
Funny.
So he goes back up. But room 1046 now has a do not disturb sign hanging on the doorknob. So someone somehow opened the door.
Grabbed the
do not disturb sign, put it on, and closed the door again. Because you can't unlock the room from the inside.
Yep.
So he's like, what the heck?
Surprised they didn't just kicked him out of the hotel by now.
And so he knocks and knocks and knocks and there's no response. So he lets himself in again. He opens the door and lets himself in. And I don't know if the door is locked again at this point or if it's unlocked, but he opens the door. He finds Owen hunched over, on close to the door. He's on the floor holding his head in his hands. And he's over, naked, still holding his head in his hands. And there's blood everywhere. It's on the floor, it's on the walls, it's all over the bathroom, and it's all over the bed.
Oh my gosh. This guy's always naked too.
I love that that's what you got out of that.
I know you said a lot more than that, but this guy's always naked.
I know. You would walk in and be like, do I even say something? Like, this guy's butt naked.
Oh, that's so funny.
So obviously the bellboy freaks out. Yeah. Like, he's like, I did not sign up for this.
Seriously.
So he's like panicked. He runs down to the lobby and the lobby calls the police because there's no cell phones. So the police arrive and they run. They go up to floor 10, room 1046, and they find that Owen is still in the same position, but he's actually alive. Like, he's dying, but he's alive.
Yeah.
So they like turn him over, you know, they start helping him. They notice that he has stab wounds to his chest.
Oh.
His head has multiple fractures, so like he's bleeding and they can tell that his head is broken, basically. He has bruises all around his neck and his wrists and ankles are tied. So he's bound.
What the heck? So someone's got to be inside the hotel going around.
Yeah, I don't know. So the cops, the police are like, this guy's been tortured. Like there's blood everywhere. He's tied up. He's beaten. He's been tortured. So they try to talk to him because they know he might die any second.
Yeah.
So they're like, please tell us what happened. What happened to you? Who did this? And he says, no one. And then they're like, well, what happened? And he's like, I fell in the bathtub. What? And then he goes unconscious.
What in the world?
Yeah. So they take him to...
it's a big fall.
Yeah. So they take him to the hospital, and he's in a coma, and then he dies at the hospital.
Oh, man.
I know. Poor Owen.
Seriously. But now I want to figure out, okay, so what happened then?
Yeah. So, authorities search room 1046 and they find some weird things. So first of all, there are no clothes in the room and Owen was naked and there's no clothes at all in the room. So someone took his clothes. The peanut butter baby.
Does it feel good?
There's no towels or toiletries from the hotel. So someone came and took all the towels that were in the room and all the like little toiletries they give, you know, like the shampoo and conditioner and lotion.
Those are nice. You know, sometimes you got to take them and
do what you got to do. You're a hotel toiletry jacker?
No, I don't do that. Maybe.
So all of those are missing, obviously.
Yeah.
So, and then the blood is just everywhere. Like they're like, this wasn't just in the bathroom like this.
How did, okay, So how did the person next door not hear it this time, but when people were, but they heard it the other time when people were barely even making any noise?
So.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like what, where was the person next door that was super attentive before?
So I'm going to tell you this detail, but it was kind of like controversial. It wasn't in every source that I read.
Okay.
The first time the bellboy goes in and he's laying naked in the bed, just laying there, the bellboy, according to some of the sources, says that he thinks that he sees some dark stains on the bed, like around him, but he's just so annoyed that he's having to go back up that he feels like it's probably just like spilt wine or stuff like that. Okay. Like he doesn't actually, and the guy's naked, and so he's not just staring at him, right? Like you walk in, there's a dude that's naked. You're not just gonna, so he just like looks at the phone, goes to the phone, picks it up and leaves. And it's dim. It's dark in the room.
Yeah, it's kind of a hard detail because, oh, I think I saw some stains, but you know, now that I know he got killed, I think I did see stains.
So the only reason I'm telling you that now based on the question you asked is because maybe Owen wasn't beat in between the two bellboy visits. Maybe Owen was beat earlier and then finally like came conscious to, fell off the bed, tried to crawl to the door, got the phone off the hook again.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
You know?
Uh-huh.
So okay. We don't, you know, there's no timeline of like when this actually happened.
Yeah.
Plus like there might not have been anyone in the rooms next to him. It's the middle of the day at this point.
We're jumping into an ad right now, and I, no joke, I've had this question I think about all the time because I hate getting sick. Do you ever wonder why some people just don't get sick? One of the reasons you can help yourself from getting sick is Armra colostrum.
Okay, obviously, I had no idea that colostrum is the first nutrition we receive in life and is an exclusive source of all the essential nutrients we need in order to thrive. So what's amazing is Armra colostrum is a proprietary concentrate of bovine colostrum that harnesses over 400 functional nutrients to strengthen your immune barriers, your body's inside suit of armor, and the first line of defense against harmful particles from the environment that can trigger inflammation and actually make you sick.
I'm not saying that it 100% works for everybody because obviously you never know, but all I'm saying is I haven't been sick since I started taking it.
Well, and the science behind it is so cool. Armra colostrum strengthens all four layers of your gut wall where 80% of your immune cells are housed, and it's a rich exclusive source of antibodies that optimize your immune defense during cold and flu season.
Plus, in clinical trials, bovine colostrum was found to be at least 3 times more effective than the flu vaccine at preventing the flu. We've worked out a special offer for our audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com/husband or enter husband to get 15% off your first order. Again, that's tryarmra.com/husband.
Okay, if you're like me, you probably care about eating healthy. I feel like we've all tried a million different ways to do that, but
McDonald's. Nah, just kidding.
But honestly, it became a no-brainer when I got my first Hungry Root delivery. And I have to tell you, I ordered Hungry Root.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then a week later, they reached out wanting to be a sponsor of the show. And I was like, good to go, because I already went on and ordered Hungry Root.
We seriously loved it. Before we were even sponsored and Peyton ordered it just because she wanted to try it, it was so cool. Like, it came in this box. There's all these different foods and they're healthy. They're good for you. There's snacks, stuff to make dinner recipes. It was amazing. The very first night we got it, we made our dinner and we both loved it.
Well, and it's really easy. You actually just take a short quiz and Hungry Root will get to know your personal health goals. And then they'll build you a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and give you delicious recipe recommendations. So honestly, I can just go and pick a recipe, boom, puts all of it in my cart. It's crazy.
Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients.
So right now, Hungry Root is offering Murder With My Husband listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/husband to get 40% off your first delivery and your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/husband. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you. All right, you guys, Audible is your one-stop app for all things audio entertainment, from bestsellers and the latest releases to celebrity memoirs and gripping mysteries. Audible's library is brimming with countless genres to love and new discoveries to make. Dive into an unparalleled selection of audiobooks and explore exclusive Audible originals brought to life by top celebrities, renowned experts, and fresh voices.
As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Plus, you can enjoy unlimited access to a growing selection of audiobooks, Audible originals, and podcasts such as Murder with My Husband.
Honestly, I love Audible because I will get into a story while I'm cleaning or driving. Sometimes I get so hooked listening to a story, I just end up finding new places to clean or just end up sitting in my car, which drives Garrett nuts, but I'm out there sitting there.
New members can explore Audible free for 30 days. Also, this March through May, let Audible sweep you into a realm of intrigue and suspense with their mystery and thriller collection, featuring exclusive new thrillers from their best-selling authors. Their selection is designed to captivate and surprise, ensuring your heart rate remains as elevated as your imagination.
New members can try Audible for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MWMH or text MWMH to 500-500. That's audible.com/MWMH or text MWMH to 500-500.
So the police find four fingerprints on the phone stand, which seem to be women's fingerprints because they were small. Or it's a man with tiny hands. But they're assuming it's women. There were two water glasses in the room, and one was broken, like a jagged edge, like it had been broken. And the other one was, like, in pristine condition. There was an unused cigarette and an unopened bottle of sulfuric
acid?
Yeah. How do I say that?
Sulfuric acid?
Sulfuric acid.
Okay, uh-huh.
Which I don't know what that's used for. Do you?
No, I just know how to say the word, but I
don't know. Like, back when I was, like, a chemist, I'm trying to remember what I used sulfuric acid for, but I, like, really can't remember.
It really is like I'm in a mystery room. You know, like the escape rooms?
Yeah.
Have you ever been doing escape room? Okay, so the cigarette butt's here. There's a cup here. Yeah. There's this here. And figure out who murdered him.
Yeah, and doesn't it just seem like every old, like, yes, murder mystery that you've ever watched?
Yeah, because usually I don't like these as much, but I think because it's old like this.
I swear every old murder has these, like, weird details of, like, stuff like this, you know? Like, who has a bottle of sulfuric acid sitting in their hotel room? You know?
It's intriguing. Okay.
So the cops discover that Roland T. Owen doesn't actually exist, and it's not the man's real name or identity. There is no one in the United States of America with the name Roland T. Owen. So they go back and realize that he's booked several other hotels in Kansas, like the days before the incident, just under different aliases that were all fake. So he was just bouncing from hotel to hotel using different names.
Weird.
A city worker named Robert Lane claims that he had been approached by Owen the night that Owen checked in, and Owen thought that Robert was driving a taxi, but he wasn't. And Owen walks up to him wearing only his underwear and t-shirt, despite it being freezing outside.
Of course.
And Lane notices that he has, like, a bloody wound on his arm. And so he's like, hey, well, I'm not a taxi, but, you know, can I help you with that wound on your arm? Are you okay? And all Owen says back is, don't worry, I'm going to get revenge on the person who gave this wound to me.
What a weirdo.
So during the funeral preparations for this now unidentified man, an anonymous caller calls in and claims that the dead man was his brother-in-law, and that the cops were on the wrong track with the murder. The caller asked the police not to bury him where they were planning on, and that he would send money to pay for a nicer funeral. The money ends up coming in a wad of cash wrapped up in newspaper. And they never can figure out who the anonymous caller was.
Wow.
During the funeral, no family shows up for the unidentified man, but, like, apparently the family knows that he's died, if you believe the anonymous caller. But another anonymous person sends flowers and money with a note saying, love forever, Luis. So two people are claiming they know who this man is, but no one's coming forward to tell the police who this man is. And someone sent money and flowers to the funeral with a note that said, "Love forever, Luis."
Yeah, this whole thing is just kind of getting stranger and stranger.
So police try to figure out who Don is, right? Like they have no luck on these anonymous people. So they're like, let's just go back to the one fact that we do have, that this guy was in contact with someone named Don, or at least was claiming to be, according to the maid and the bellboy and everyone. Yep. So they go, they try to find who Don is. They try to follow the leads. They have no luck. They can't figure out who Don is. They truly have no idea what happened in room 1046 besides strange and concerning behavior from this unidentified man.
And it seems like a pretty small hotel, so you think they would know.
Yeah.
Like if someone came in that they and didn't recognize. And they did,
like they, so they, the bellboys, like, you know, and the people at the hotel are like, oh, the night of the murder, a commercial woman actually came into the hotel, which is a sex worker.
Yep.
Went up to floor 10 because, like, the guy standing at the elevator, like, saw what button she pushed. Went up to floor 10, comes back down, meets another guy, and then they go back up to floor 9.
Okay, so they talk about all the strange stuff that
happened. Yeah, but it's like no one, like, that's just, but it's like,
who, there's always weird stuff happening in hotels.
But also, like, who remembers that?
Yeah.
Detail. It's the middle of the night. Who remembers, like, oh, they came in, they went up to floor 10, they came back down. They met, you know, like when there's nothing weird going on.
Yeah, I could see that.
Unless it was like, oh, that's a sex worker. And, you know, in that day, it was like
a bigger deal.
Sex worker.
Yeah.
So it was like maybe they were remembering because of that. Honestly, I don't know. So the case remains cold until 1936, which is actually only like a year and a half later. A woman calls the authorities and says her name is Eleanor Ogletree and she's from Alabama. She claims to have come across a photo of Owen in a magazine article about the case and says it's her brother, Artemis, who's 17 and disappeared a while back.
Whoa.
She says around the disappearance, Artemis had sent a series of strange typed up, like, you know, on like a typewriter, typed up letters to their mom. But he didn't actually know how to type. Like, he was never taught how to type and they didn't have a typewriter. And the tone of the letters, like, seemed a little off. So they were just kind of like,
that can't be him.
That really can't be him. So they didn't know what to think of it. And in the last letter, he said that he was planning to sell around Europe. And so, you know, don't be weirded out if you don't hear from me for a while. And then they never heard from him again.
It's kind of interesting to think back then. You can't, like,
find my friends.
Yeah, like, find my friends. Or, like, oh, that's my brother that's been missing. And
yeah,
he left. But it's not like you can call him on a cell phone or, like, see him on Instagram. And you're like, oh, okay, he's in Nebraska now or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just like, oh, I guess he's dead. I had no idea.
Yeah. So they send the Kansas police photos of Artemis, their brother, because you can't, like, get on Facebook and look him up. The resemblance is actually uncanny to Owen. Like, they literally look at the photos and go, wow, this actually might be the dead man.
Mm-hmm.
He even had the same scar on his face.
Oh, wow.
But if it really was him, if Roland T. Owen is Artemis Ogletree, the letters that Artemis sent to his mom were sent after Roland T. Owen died.
Okay, well, that would make sense because they said the letters were weird anyways.
So it really wasn't him.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's all?
That's all we have.
So it's never been solved?
Never been solved.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like one of the most mysterious, no evidence, no answers, murder cases like that exist.
And we still don't know who Don is.
Nope.
That's just been kind of a mystery the whole time too.
So they do say that Don back in the day was like a name for a mafia boss, like a nickname.
Oh.
Is that, do you know that?
Yeah. No, I didn't know that.
Oh.
I didn't know
that. So they say like they would call all mafia bosses Don. Like they didn't go by their real names. They just went by Don.
Yo, Don.
Yeah. So they're like saying, you know, maybe he got wrapped up with the mafia boss's girl. And so then, you know, Don came for him. And that's why he was going to different hotels using different names, trying to run away.
I could see that. Or, I mean, not the exact thing. But like the maid said, that someone said to her, no, we're fine. Just go away. Mm-hmm. So obviously someone was pissed off inside there.
Yeah. So I'm going to go through some theories.
Okay.
Like these are just speculated theories of all people alike.
Yeah.
So theory number one, the most simple theory. Dawn beat Artemis to death alone in room 1046. And that's how, like, that's what happened. He was the man with the deep voice that the maid heard. Mm-hmm. And Artemis was trying to run from him. And Dawn found him and beat him.
Okay.
Theory number two, Dawn didn't act alone because of the woman that was heard by the neighbor that night. And then also people think that the sex worker who came up and then came back down to meet the man was meeting Dawn. And then they both went back up and killed him together.
Oh. Okay.
So she came up, saw him, came back down, met Dawn with the key. Ooh, and went back up.
I kind of like that theory.
Because, you know, the elevator operator saw her. And it was heard a man and a woman arguing.
Interesting.
The third is that Ogletree was killed, like hit for hire by someone for being unfaithful to his fiance, Louise, who sent flowers to his funeral and money saying love forever, Louise. And her brother, Louise's brother, could have been the anonymous caller that paid for the funeral.
Oh.
But I'm like, if she hit for hired him, why would she then pay for his funeral? But
isn't he also 17 years old?
Yeah.
I mean, did people, maybe, I mean, I guess yes, people got.
Yes, back then people did get married early.
I don't know about that one. Okay.
Yeah. So those are like the three main things. So now I'm going to tell you kind of what I feel after. So I think the reason that he was sitting in the bed like that with the lights off was because he was being held prisoner in the hotel. I think that Dawn was with him in the hotel a lot of the time.
Oh.
And so he was just sitting there because like Dawn was coming in and out of the hotel to meet him, acting as like another guest of another room. And he was like being forced to stay there. And then eventually Dawn, this guy, whoever it is, kills him. And I think that when the bellboy came in the first time, he had already been beat and Dawn was still in the room. And I think when the bellboy came in, Dawn was hiding in the room in the middle of beating him and set him in the bed naked and said, don't move.
Oh, I could see that one, especially because it was dark all. It was dark the entire time.
And, like, the phone kept going off. Yeah. So it's like there was something going on up there. Oh. And so, and I think that whatever Artemis had done, he was obviously scared. He had been running. He had been using fake aliases. I think he would have 10,000% been under control of someone. So if someone sat him in the bed and said, don't move, he would have done it.
Yeah. No, I think you actually might be right. It's hard because there's not a whole lot of information.
And because the do not disturb sign came back on the door, the last time the bellboy came up, I think someone was in the room when the bellboy came up the first time and was hiding.
So, but then how was the door getting locked every single time?
Because, you mean if there's someone in the room, how's the door getting locked? Because I think that there is a girl working with him.
Got it.
I do think that.
So you think there's a third person?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think they just bounced back the keys back and forth.
Okay. Yeah, that's a.
Because you think about it, it's perfect. He can't leave if he's locked in the room.
Uh huh.
Like it's a perfect place to hold someone prisoner.
Seriously, yeah, it's weird that the hotel door is only locked from the outside. It really is like a jail.
Yeah, I think because there was just the safety. There is no need to lock your door if you're in the room.
You're fine. No one's going to come hurt you.
Like, I would be interested to know if back in that time, if people even locked their houses. Like, if there were locks on the doors to houses.
I'm not the best with history, so don't ask me.
I don't really remember reading that in my history books at school, but.
Well, think of the Great Gatsby. So, yeah, they probably did.
Yeah.
The Great Gatsby was like 1920s.
Yeah, mm-hmm, the 20s.
So, yeah. Yeah,
they probably did. Yeah, but it's just weird to me that a hotel, like, I had to research it because I was so confused.
We act like
I hate hotels. Can you imagine not having a lock on your door at a hotel?
We act like they're living in, like, tents. Like, we don't know our history very well. Wait, did they shut the teepee tent when they left?
I know.
No, but, yeah, you do hate hotels, so.
Yeah, so this story, like, the fact that the door locks from the outside and someone could lock you in your room or you couldn't lock someone out of your room gives me the heebies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't like that. Yeah. Which is why I started this story off with why I hate hotels so bad.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So, in conclusion, was Artemis Ogletree really Roland T. Owen? And if so, how did he even end up in Kansas City? His family has no idea. Was the mysterious Don the man who had been heard talking to Owen? And did he kill Artemis and then send those letters to make the family think that he was still alive? And if so, like, why? Why even make the family? Like, he was already gone. The family wasn't causing a ruckus. Like, he had been gone for a while. Who's the woman involved? And what role did she play? And what actually happened in room 1046? Why was Roland Owen or Artemis Ogletree acting so weird and like, showing concerning behavior the whole time he was staying there?
I think there's too many gaps. There's so many gaps between the letters, between mm-hmm. someone claiming him as family, between the anonymous caller.
Yeah.
Between all this stuff, there's just, I don't even know if I can form an opinion because there's so many gaps.
But it's so
It's weird. Weird. It's freaky.
I think the freakiest part is not that someone was killed in a hotel room. I don't think that that is that strange. I think the behavior leading up to the phone going, you know, the phone keep getting off the hook. The fact that he just kept sitting in the bed in the dark, never opening the windows, never turning a light on. Just staring up at the ceiling, not reading a newspaper, not like doing things to pass his time. The fact that the only person that he was ever heard talking to or like communicating with was a guy named Don. The fact that when the maid went up there, there was someone else in the room that said, no, we don't need towels, go away.
Also,
it's just that behavior before the murder itself that is so alarming.
Something else I thought of is when he left the room and he told the maid, don't lock it. It could be because Don was in there.
And didn't want to get locked in.
Didn't want to get locked in.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's something so spooky to the fact that, like, someone can be hiding in a room and you don't know. Like, someone is in a room with you and you are unaware. Like, yeah. that thought is very spooky and freaky to me. And so the fact that this maid could have been in there and someone could have been hiding under the bed or is so where while their prisoner Artemis is just sitting in the bed staring up at the ceiling trying to act like nothing weird is going on. Like, that is spooky to me, and that is why I like this story so much, because the possibility of that happening seems to be kind of high.
Oh, I'm sure maids and bellboys have so many insane stories, even now.
Oh, I know.
Hotels are just Can you imagine? I mean, hotels are awesome. They're fun to stay in every once in a while, right? But I'm sure there's so many crazy stories.
Yeah.
So many.
Yeah, I know. I mean, every TV show that I watch always has at least once a season has a hotel murder or a hotel crime of some sort. Like, that's... It's just, you get a whole bunch of strangers in one place.
That was a good one, though.
I know. I did one that was unsolved, because we've been having ones that are solved, you know. So this is technically one of the most mysterious unsolved murder of the death in room 1046.
Awesome. That was a good one. I know we can't hit the... Yay!
I know, because
it wasn't solved. We don't know. No one went to jail.
I do feel like Artemis, Roland, whatever you want to call him, did something naughty.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, people usually don't just kill people for no reason. There's always some motive.
But I do feel like he got involved with the wrong people. Or,
like you said, mafia boss. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could totally see that.
And was trying to run and then got caught.
And got killed.
And, like, they held him there for a while. I mean, it wasn't a while. It was 2 days. But, Yeah, I definitely think that's kind of what happened in this situation, but we'll never know.
We will never know.
Well, one day, hopefully.
Unless someone out there has some information that we don't know, then feel free to pass it along.
Yeah, I mean, if you just happen to listen to this and you happen to know what really happened in room 1046. He's like your
great-great-great-grandpa or
please
something.
Please let me know so that I can solve a murder.
That's so funny.
I know.
Awesome. No, that was a good one.
Yeah. Well,
I think that's...
All right. Well, thank you for listening. Please, please subscribe to our podcast. If you finish this one, if you got to the end, you owe it to yourself to subscribe.
You're a real fan at this point, and we really
appreciate it.
You're a true homie.
Yeah, so subscribe and also follow us on our social medias. We are at Murder With My Husband on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook.
And Facebook. We don't have Facebook, we don't have Facebook yet, but we will.
But we will.
We're going to try to do, I think, twice a week. We're going to try to post twice a week. Because we want it to be consistent where people can listen to these stories, not where it's like, oh, this week we posted once and then we didn't post for 3 weeks. So just be on the lookout. That's why you should subscribe.
Yeah, subscribe. You'll get a notification every time. And download.
Yep, and download.
Subscribe and download.
We love seeing where our listeners are from.
Yeah.
Even if we only have 10.
And we will shout you out if you're a continued listener and we check.
That's true. We will shout you out.
So let us know. Comment on our stuff. Let us know. Subscribe. We'll see you.
And then one day, maybe when we have thousands of listeners, we'll still shout out the true homies. The OGs.
Yep. The OGs. The been here from the beginning.
Yep.
All right, well, everyone, Artemis Ogletree, Ronald T. Owen, the mysterious woman, Dawn. I love it.
And I hate it.
Bye.